So if you'll take your Bible out, I'll take you with me where I went this morning. We're going to John chapter 17. And Ron, up in Canada there, I want to remind you what that scripture means to me, because you were guilty of exposing my heart many years ago. I'm using the NIV because I double checked the Amplified. But there's one verse that I want to kind of bring out before we go into the beginning of it.
John 17, you said?
John chapter 17. I want you to look at verse 15 and 16 and 17. Nothing else, just those three verses. This is obviously, if you have a red letter edition, you're going to find that it's written in red in your Bible. This is Jesus. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. The entire focus is on this next verse. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. The press from the Holy Spirit this morning was, Kim, you were never part of this world. You came into this realm along with many others. And your heavenly Father is the real creator of all things. You and the brotherhood that are born of the Spirit are more than they realize and more than they've ever believed for. They are not of the world, even as Jesus is not of it. So, how do we go forward with that? I'd like to take you to a little bit of a deeper understanding of what I'm trying to make you see today. John 15, verse 19. John 15, verse 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Say ouch.
Yep.
That is why the world hates you. Acts 2, verse 40. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Why is Jesus pressing in to save yourself from this corrupt generation? How many of you have seen it on the news, the corrupt stuff that's going on? How upside down they really believe what they're doing is of a great value to our nation. All it is lies and deceptions and division. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to have one of my grandchildren have their eyes open. Because you see, they're living with the fruits of this dark world right now. The young ones need your prayer. They need your intercession. Okay? No matter how young they are, the truth has to come by you. You're the truth bearer. You're the one that gives them hope. We had a short conversation about deficiencies and children who are having a hard time. And I reminded one of them, just remember, don't try to be like your buddies. Or maybe they're not as buddy-like that you would like. But you can't handle rejection, so you'd rather join them than to stand your ground. Been there. Lived it. Amen? So have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Because you see, the seduction is to be like them so you'll be accepted. But you're not of this world, are you? You have been recreated in the image and likeness of the Son, the firstborn. This one's going to be a little more difficult. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you received from us. That's another ouch. See? When you have been rejected, the goal of your life is never to let anyone else taste the pain you've rejected or that you've lived in. And so you end up making inner vows. I will never treat anyone like I was treated. And those inner vows are promises you've made, but they are not always the truth. Because your heavenly Father never rejected you. Your Creator never rejected you. He's the Father of who you really are. And when that truth comes in, you can look at Joseph as a perfect example. In Genesis, when Joseph is given away and sold as a slave, did he keep a slave mentality? He's a slave in Potiphar's house after his brother gave a bright idea to the other brothers, wanted him dead. That's the kind of love that they had for Joseph. Keep that in mind when they're laughing about you behind your back and you hear about it. And when you hear about it, you'd like to fix their wagon in a new fashion. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Because the emotions are getting the best of you. Now, if every slave in the United States of America whose background was from color or whatever type of slavery they're into, if they follow the example of the first slave that we are capable of watching with a godly result, it is Joseph. He goes from difficult to more difficult because he gets accused by the wife. He's not guilty. He can't respond because his boss says, my wife is the one that says. So now he graduates to the next level of slavery. He's now in jail. Not because he's guilty. Because if you read the word, you'll see that even Potiphar didn't believe. But because of people's opinions and his household, he had to get rid of him. After all, he's only a slave. Maybe there were some color problems there. I don't know. But I want you to know that he didn't remain in jail without a purpose. How many of you have ever felt you were in jail? Put your hand up. Well, if you felt it, maybe there's a training purpose in that jail experience. Now, he is in jail. What is he doing? He's interpreting dreams. Does he stay with a slave mentality? Because if he did stay with a slave mentality, he would have been angry, bitter, and the sourest person in that jail. But he started to thank God for what the purpose was so that he could discover why he's in there. It was a school for him. When I was put in a closet at 8 years old because I couldn't understand the language, that was a school for me to survive the closet. I'm out of the closet, by the way. That's a joke. Get a clue. What I'm trying to say to you is, why do you have to be bitter about the things that have happened to you if you take a good look and see what God taught you and was trying to teach you when you didn't feel accepted or loved or rejected? What was the advantage? What was God after? He was preparing you for a higher position, just like he did for me. You see, when the interpreter, namely Joseph, gave the wine bearer or the cup bearer the interpretation of his dream, even he forgot the man of God for roughly 2 years, if I remember correctly. But at the end of that time, God's purpose was ready to unfold. And there was a message that was given. Joseph, you need to be coming to Pharaoh's house. Did he feel like a slave when he was being required to go to Pharaoh's house? Did he prepare himself? Yes, I'm positive. Because Pharaoh would not let any slave around him. He had to be prepared. And then when he interpreted the dream, his recommendation that you find somebody that's going to be able to take care of the nation for 7 years. Because there's going to be 7 years of plenty, but then there's going to be 7 years of want and need for food. I've listened to some of the people that are on television advertising to purchase food now. And I said to the Lord, unless you speak to me, I'm not buying food to store to throw it away. Because I've watched people did that years ago. And then when everything was expired, it had to be all thrown away. I'm not interested in following other people. But I am interested in following the Lord and what he wants. And that's what happened to Joseph. He was lifted out of slavery into the second in command of the whole nation. If he would have got depressed about being a slave in Potiphar's house, he would have never made it to the next level. If he would have started to complain and fall into fear while he's in jail, it was actually the very place where he would learn to control unruly people. We have a man in the White House right now, and I'm not political, but I know that he was trained in unlikely abilities to stand his ground with a bunch of shysters in the world out of the city of New York and survive it and come out on top. And he's going to, I believe, going to take our nation back to where it needs to be. Am I advertising him? I'm advertising the man God chose to put in there. Just like we consistently prayed for Obama when he was there for 8 years, there was a purpose. And there's a purpose now. So, 2 Thessalonians 3:6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings you receive from us. Meaning St. Paul and his brotherhood. I want you to take back now, because you've had a little piece of what I was trying to understand that God was downloading to me this morning. John 17, verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Say, Father, I need protection from the evil one. I may think I can handle it, but he's a lying spirit. And he's capable of lying so sweet that I bought a lot of his stuff over the years. Today I break my agreement. With those lies. And I'm asking for the spirit of truth. Which is the Holy Spirit. To download the truth. That I am loved of my Father. And Jesus prayed for me. Verse 16. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Now, if you go back to verse 1 of John 17, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come to glorify your son. What's he facing? The crucifixion. He's already got a mental picture of the torment he's going to have. And he calls it glorifying himself. Persecution for me was not called a glory trip. And there's many people right now that are going through all kinds of torment because of the day we're living in. Can you look at it as a time where you will see the Heavenly Father bring glory to you? See, that takes all your mental capacity and all your discernment and puts it on shaky ground. That's what it does. How can Jesus be glorified through going through all kinds of torment and being exposed, lied about, spit at, you name it, and then crucified? So keep that in mind when you're going through some hard days. Verse 2. You granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have you have given to him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, eternal life is knowledge and relationship with your Creator, your Father, your Heavenly Father, the Father of your spirit. 4, verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. A few weeks ago, I lost a pastor friend who went home to be with Jesus. His wife related to me face to face. She said, Kim, I wanted to hold on to him. But the Lord came to him and revealed to him that everything that he was told to do by the Lord had been done. His work was completed. When your work is done, what do? You graduate. Amen? Don't need to go back to Elms. Forget that degree. You got it. Amen? My brother in Christ is gone to be with Jesus because he graduated. He graduated to the place where he was prepared to do a work in the heavens that he did not complain while he was in the earth. While he was in the place of destructing the mindsets that he had. You and I have to destroy those mindsets that create for us that you'll be a slave forever. Or that you'll be useless to God forever. That has to be taken down by you. Nobody's going to do it for you. And you have to have a heart-to-heart talk with your Father. He created you for a purpose, not you getting to tell him how to do it. And that hurts when you face the truth. You know why? Because the soul, the mind, will, and emotions are fighting you every step of the way. That's if you're still alive. And I mean that in the war games that come. Verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Did you and I have glory on us before the world began? See, I'm prodding you to recognize that your beginning came when he created spirits, not when he put you in your mother's womb. Your beginning came when he created all the spirits. And you were part of the body of Christ with him in the heavens at that time. The scripture says that Jesus emptied himself before he entered this realm. What about you? Did you empty yourself and said, yes, I'm going down. I'm going to have that experience in the earth. I believe you said yes. Because every single spirit in the heavens as well as in the earth have a free will. This might shake your theology, but if you check the word, you'll get the understanding that every single one of us said yes. And did Joseph know that he was going to have a future as the second in command of Pharaoh and Egypt? No. Did he learn it the hard way? Yes. So do you. So do I. Verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they acted or accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you. And they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. That's the prayer that I believe relates to you and me today. It was not a prayer just for them. It was a prayer that was intended for all of those who would believe in his name. Verse 10. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your nature. That's the word name. Protect them by the power of your nature, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. You think that? That's going to happen in the earth? Is there a possibility that the church will finally come together under one?
Will.
Instead of fighting each other? I believe the Lord didn't pray that prayer for it not to come true. I believe the trust that needs to be formed is in progress. Think about Joseph again, in jail, dealing with the best shysters in the land. They're all in the same jail together. How does he survive the jail situation? He survives it by becoming an overcomer and being smarter than every crook in that jail. So he's prepared for the ones that never got caught, that he's going to have to work with in order to really put aside 7 years of provision. How is he going to deal with them? The same way he dealt with the shysters in jail. How about you right now? How do you deal with the shysters in your everyday life? Those that are trying to steal your joy. Do you see it as a teaching of your discernment? Or do you get bent out of shape and try to lift them up before they're ready to walk? I've tried it, it doesn't work. When someone is in their own thought pattern and they believe, whatever lie they believe, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can really come in and shatter that. And he will. Because he did it with me. So I don't worry about people who have a hardened heart, because I had one. How long does it last? Some of the corners, I can truthfully say, there's some of them that are still in a struggle. Because I can find a rational answer to every time the Lord brings me to the truth. And oh, but, and that but can really create a real issue. Instead of taking God's truth and looking at his word as my truth, I'm still stuck in some form of deception and lies. Not that I want to be, but the revelation has to come from him. And you know what? He's capable of downloading something that will shatter the darkness. He's capable. He's not disabled. Verse 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. You mean there are scriptures yet to be fulfilled about you and me? I was listening to Mike Bickle last night for a few minutes. And he pointed out that there's 150 chapters in the Bible that are written about this day. 150 chapters. Isn't that cool? They're all prophetic about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is a day that's difficult. I went there a few weeks back with you, when I brought you to Joel chapter 2, where it talks about the army of the Lord. And as the head of the army is Jesus. And it brings an awful, awful awareness to the rest of the world, where things are so difficult that they have no understanding of Jesus, but they will. 13. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Do you ever try to function when you're in a jail situation with joy? I can remember being in a hospital and Dr. Trump was my doctor. And according to him, I could have went home in a split second because the infection was that severe. And even with all the pain medication and all the surgeries, because there were two surgeries done, I think it was my fourth night of being in the hospital, the Holy Spirit woke me up. Half drugged, he said to me, take your Bible out. Well, I reached over and found my Bible and put it into the bed, sat up. How many know God doesn't have a problem waking you up at 3 a.m., even if you're drugged? Then he made me read the prophetic word that had been given to me in June, and this was in September. And in the prophetic words that I had received in June were my instructions of how to go through the jail term that I was in, because it was jail. I couldn't walk. I couldn't function. The recipe was give thanks in all circumstances. And it was prophesied word for word. Did I like the trip? No. Did I learn anything? I learned a lot. Did I enjoy the trip? No. Did I enjoy the results?
Yeah. Yeah. You were busy to go back that one.
All right. 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. See, when you try to fit into the world system and the way the world thinks, you're going to be in trouble because you're not of it. Does that help at all? See, your level of discernment is up here and the world is thinking down here. And I'm not trying to take them down. They have an option to go up. They can say, yes, Lord, if they want to. Just like you and I said, yes, Lord. Because my want to was pushed by the Lord. 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So if Jesus is looking for me and you to be protected, it's because I need it. Mm-hmm. The evil one is a lot more crafty than most people think. You know why? He's got the world wrapped around his little finger, and he's having a party with it, and he's got lots of helpers. Only one, amen? Amen. Think about what I'm saying to you. Some people say, oh, that devil ain't got nothing on me. He's got plenty of ammunition if he wants to use it against you. And believe me, there'll be plenty to believe the lies. Because you see, what he does is he lies and he lies and he lies. And eventually, people believe the lies. You've got a whole country right now believing lies. And that tells you it's serious. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Oh. So, he's doing for us as an example of what we do for those that we're going to minister to. Verse again, 18. And you sent me into the world. I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too, or that they too may be truly sanctified. So the sanctification is a byproduct of the obedience of our first big brother. Say amen.
Amen.
It gives us an example. Verse 20 is the last verse I'm going to give you. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. There's a lot more in this chapter, but I have a piece about stopping right now and recognizing why we were sent into this realm at this time. And if you can see that God's plan was not to create you and then let you have your way all the way through the lifespan that God gives, because every one of us has got a potential for 120 years, Genesis 6:3. But the journey should be enjoyed. Even if you're in a slave mentality or in a slave situation, don't look at it as permanent. Because the darkness will try to tell you you'll never do anymore. You'll never be any more than you are right now. Put right hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
The darkness has tried.
The darkness has tried.
To pull me down.
He
will not complete his mission.
He will not complete his mission.
Because he's being exposed.
Because he's being exposed.
Right now.
Right now.
He is the spirit of lies.
He is the spirit of lies.
And he will not continue his work.
And he will not continue his work.
Because as of today,
today,
I'm claiming the prayer of my Savior Jesus.
I'm claiming the prayer of my Savior.
I will be one.
I will be one
with my Heavenly Father.
With
we will be one with Jesus.
We will be one with Jesus.
By the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost.
It's going to be answered through me.
It's going to be answered through me.
And God's Holy Ghost.
God
will continue to heal the inner parts of my heart. Wherever mentality that I've had, I lay it down before you.
Let the adjustments come.
Let the spirit of truth come.
Let the spirit of truth come.
So that I can be free.
So that I can be free.
To help others down the road.
To help others down the road.
That's the commission.
That's the commission.
You gave to the apostles.
You gave to the apostles.
And the disciples of your day.
And the disciples of your day.
And that same prayer you said for me.
And the same prayer you said for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't always understand.
I don't always understand.
But I thank you for the grace.
I thank you for the grace.
I thank you for the favor.
I thank you for the favor.
And the open doors.
And the open doors.
And if I'm still in slavery in my mind.
I'm
coming out today.
I'm coming out today.
I've been in the box long enough.
I've been in the box long enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For healing me.
For healing me.
And thank you for being my Father.
And thank you for being my Father.
You are one with me.
You are one with me.
And I am one with you.
And I am one with you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For I decree healing in your hearts right now. I decree that this word will not return void, but will produce mighty signs and wonders as you give out the glory and the grace and the glorification that happened to Jesus out of the trauma that he lived. Whatever trauma you and I have lived in, let it be used for God's glory. Let it be a way for me to understand the ones that are more broken than I am and help them come back to life. In Jesus' name, let it be. In Jesus' name, so be it.
Amen.